This morning I want to use one little phrase from verse 22 for the theme and title of my message. He went away. It says, "And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." The he was the rich young ruler that Adam led us in reading about there in Mark chapter 10. He was rich and he was cultured, he was refined, popular, attractive, young. Many good points about this young man, but unfortunately, this morning, he's in hell because he went away. Jesus said in verse 23, we didn't read it, but he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Some that do have. I personally know of I went to church down in Ypsilanti with a man that was a millionaire, and he was a godly man, a Christian. But riches sometimes make it hard for men to set their heart on Christ and set their heart on God. Bible, in fact, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to choose. But I want you to notice quickly this morning several things about this young man. They're all good. They're all good things. They're all good things until we come to the last thing, the fact that he went away. I want you to notice, first of all, number one, he came to Jesus. And I would have you remember this morning that nobody comes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draws them. In John chapter 6, verse 44, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." So every upward look that mankind has, every holy desire that mankind has, every thought of goodness, every aspiration for a nobler life doesn't come from our hearts. The Bible says that our hearts are exceedingly wicked. But every look that we have toward God, every desire that mankind has toward God is the work of the Spirit of God, is the work of God in drawing us to him. Sadly, today, many, many ignore the draw of the Holy Spirit. The United States of America is the biggest English-speaking mission field in the world because 80% of the population in our country has nothing to do with God. They'll confess they're religious, and they may go to church, but if you look at poll after poll, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe that they're sinners. They don't believe that they need a Savior. Why? Because they've ignored the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that draws them to God. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts them they're a sinner. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts them that they need a Savior. It's the Holy Spirit that points to Jesus and said, "He's the way, the truth, and the life." But they ignore the Holy Spirit. Now, you're here this morning. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You're here because the Holy Spirit of God drew you here, and you listened. You obeyed. You were obedient to the Holy Spirit as he drew you to this place. So he came to Jesus because he was drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to notice number two, he came running. He was an aristocrat. He was a ruler. He had rules of conduct that he had to follow when he was in public. There was a certain way that he had to act. But when he realized that he was lost, when he realized he was on his way to hell, when he realized that he didn't have eternal life, he put aside all the rules of conduct that he normally obeyed. He picked up his outer garment and he ran to Christ. That's what people do when they realize they're in danger. Not just spiritual danger, but any danger. If you realize that danger is around a corner, maybe a man with a gun, maybe a wild animal, maybe a fire, some other danger, you put it in your mind, whatever that danger is, if you're smart, you'll run. I would. I mean, if somebody's got a gun and they're about to shoot me, I'm not going to stand around and see if they're a good shot or not. I'm gonna hightail it out of there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get shot. I'll run. Where's your courage, preacher? Well, when somebody has a gun, I don't have any courage. Now, that's what we do when danger is near. I mean, God has put that instinct into us. We will run. That's what this man did. He realized danger was near. Hell was just a heartbeat away. Eternity without God was just a breath away. And so he came, and he came running. And number three, he knelt. He knelt before Jesus. He was a ruler. He was a person that people usually knelt to him. He was a person that people usually humbled themselves before him. He was a ruler. But here, in broad daylight, for everybody to see, the one to whom homage was usually paid was now bowing before somebody else, paying homage to him. The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow before Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never knelt in humility before God, and you say in your heart, I will never kneel before God in humility. I don't believe in him. I don't believe he deserves my worship. Let me tell you something. You may not like it, but this is what the Bible says. There's going to come a day where every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess him Lord. I want to tell you, it will be better for you to bow today than to try to bow later. It'll be better for you to bow while you still have hope than to bow when all hope is gone. It'll be better to bow before a Savior, before a king that's going to judge you. It's better to bow before the cross than to bow before the white throne judgment. So he came running. He knelt, all good things. He asked the right question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What he was saying is he asked the question. He says, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to endure the fires of hell. I don't want to be separated from God forever. I don't want to go to that bottomless pit where the flames burn hot and the worm dieth not. How can I avoid that? How can I claim heaven? How can I make peace with God? How can I get everlasting life? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Everything he's done so far has been good. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me just reason with you for a quick second. Hell is real. Eternity is forever. To die without knowing Christ as your Savior is to be damned forever. Do you understand this morning that death could come at any moment? None of us in this room are promised another heartbeat. None of us in this room are promised another breath. Any one of us could go out to eternity in a moment's notice. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'll tell you what I would do if I was you. I wouldn't wait until the preacher got done preaching. If I was here and I wasn't saved and I realized that I could go to hell, I would not wait for the end of the service. I'd get up from my seat right now and I'd come down the aisle and I'd say, preacher, I need to be saved. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait for the next few minutes. I don't want to wait for the next few seconds. I would come running just like this man, because hell is real and none of us are guaranteed the next breath. None of us are guaranteed the next heartbeat. Any one of us could go out into eternity in the next moment. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell forever. Say, preacher, I don't believe in a place called hell. I'm sorry. It's not my idea. It's the Bible. The Bible says that God prepared hell for Satan and his angels, and all those that reject him will end up in that place for all eternity. And by the way, once you go there, there's no way out. There's nobody that can buy your way out. Nobody that can pray your way out. You're there for all eternity. It is better to bow before the Savior today than to go into eternity and spend it apart from him. So he asked the right question. He came. He came running. He knelt. He asked the right question. Number five, he got the right answer. You see, Jesus challenged him in his thinking about what he needed to do for eternal life. Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Jesus quoted the last six commandments, the commandments that deal with our relationships with one another. He said, you know the commandments, you know what they say. And the young man said, hey, if this is it, I'm okay. If all you got to do is keep those six commandments, he says, I've done those from my youth up. I've obeyed every single one of them. I've done it. Jesus said, well, there is one thing you lack. Just one thing. I want you to go and sell everything you have. I want you to give it away to the poor. And I want you to come and follow me. You see, Jesus was not only concerned about the last six commandments, he was concerned about the first four. He was concerned about the first four that include, have no other gods before me. In fact, Jesus said on another occasion, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He looked at this young man. The Bible says he loved him. He was a good person. He was after a good thing. He wanted eternal life. And Jesus said, here's how you get it. It's not keeping the commandments. It's not obeying the Ten Commandments. It doesn't depend on what you do. It doesn't depend on what you have. I want you to get rid of what you have so you can trust me. I want you to get rid of what you have so that you can depend on me. I want you to get rid of what you have so that you can come to me and love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Before you see, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. You will not get saved this morning by what you can do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You get saved this morning by trusting what Jesus did for you on Calvary. He took every one of your sins and every one of my sins. As Debbie sang a moment ago, we were the reason that he went to the cross. We were the reason that he allowed the soldiers to nail him to that cross and lift him up between heaven and earth. We were the reason that he hung there for those hours on the day that he was crucified. We were the reason that God turned his back on his only son, because God put on his son every one of our sins. And on the cross, Jesus died to pay for those sins. You don't get saved by what you do. You don't get saved by what you have. You don't get saved by who you are. You get saved by coming to the Son of God and trusting what he did for you on Calvary. That's how you get saved. Because Jesus went to that cross, God's able to offer to every single one of us the gift of eternal life. Because our sins were paid for, God can offer to every single one of us the gift of eternal life. Now again, everything up to this point that this young man did was good. He came. He came running. He knelt. He asked the right question. He got the right answer. Everything that he'd done up to this point was good. But then the Bible says he went away. He went away. He was sad at what Jesus said, and he was grieved because he had great possessions, and he loved his possessions so much that he wasn't willing to give them up and come to Christ, even though Jesus said, this is the way that you get eternal life. He went away. What did he go away to? He went back away to his money. He had his money before he came, and it didn't satisfy him. He had his money before he came running to Christ, and there was still an empty spot in his soul. He had his money before he came running to Jesus, and that money did not satisfy the longings that he had in his heart to have a relationship with God. I don't care how much you have or what the world has to offer. If you don't have Jesus, there's something missing in your life that nothing in this world will satisfy. You can try to fill it with all sorts of different things that the world has to offer, but you'll be empty just like this young man was when he came, and you'll be empty just like this young man was when he left. He went back to his money. He went back to his friends. I'm sure many of his friends were like the friends the prodigal son had. As long as he had his money, he had friends. If he ever lost his money, he'd lose his friends. What'd he go back to? Pleasure. The pleasure that money can sometimes buy. But the Bible says that pleasure only lasts for a season. And then it doesn't satisfy anymore. What did he go back to? He went back to the emptiness that he came with. And this morning he suffers the punishment of hell because he walked away from the one person that could make a difference in his eternity. He walked away from Jesus Christ. He went away. He went away. I don't know of any sadder words in the Bible. He went away. He asked the right question. He got the right answer. But he went away. He went away. He went away. Let me ask you, if you're here today and you're not saved, what are you going to do? You were drawn by the Holy Spirit to this place. You didn't come by accident. You didn't come by coincidence. You are here because God wanted you here this morning. You've heard the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected, defeating death, defeating sin. And because he did, God's able to offer to every single one of us the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've come because the Holy Spirit drew you. You've heard the gospel. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to leave in the same condition that you came? Again, if you're here today without Christ, there's a part of you that you were made with that only a relationship with God can satisfy. You won't satisfy it any other way. You won't satisfy it with any other relationship. You won't satisfy it with any possession. You won't satisfy it with any position. You won't satisfy it with anything else. The only thing that will satisfy that desire in your life for a relationship with God is God. And the only way that you can have a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do this morning? Are you going to come? Are you going to receive Christ as your Savior? Or are you going to go away? Are you going to go away? We never read about this young man in the Bible again. We assume that when he went away for good. And he never came back to Christ. And he suffers in hell this morning because he walked away from the one person that could change his eternity, that could change his destination from the punishment of hell to the rewards of heaven. What are you going to do this morning? Please, if you're here and you've never received Christ, don't go away without making him your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for examples like this young man. Help us to learn from him. Help us to see what he gave up when he walked away from Jesus that day. Help us to see what he went back to. It never satisfied him before he came. It didn't satisfy him after he went back. And I pray, Father, every person here that's never received Christ would see what this young man walked away from. Walked away from life. He walked away from heaven. He walked away from God. He walked away from that abundant life that God promises to every person. Help him not to walk away this morning. Help every person that's here that's never received Christ come to the Savior. Come and bow before him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me and save me from my sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to decide and make a decision to decide and to do it. Those that are lost to come and we can take the Bible and show them from the Bible all these things that I've said. All those that need to be baptized, all those that you've laid on their heart to join the church, help them to come during this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.